Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Rambler. I'm your host, Karis Milby, and today we're diving into a unique perspective on life at Bluefield University, the international student experience. What's it like leaving home to study in a new country? What surprises, challenges, and joys come with adapting to life in Southern West Virginia? To help answer those questions, I sat down with two amazing students, Juan Almonte from Puerto Rico and Jessica Aristi from Sao Paulo, Brazil. Let's jump right into it. All right, let's get started with the basics. Juan, where are you from and what made you choose Bluefield?
This is Juan. I'm from San Juan, Puerto Rico. My parents are from the Dominican Republic. And I chose Bluefield because Bluefield, for me, felt like home. It's like being back in the mountains. I was once living in West Virginia for 2 years. And honestly, what I can say about it is the environment is super, super chill, honestly. Meeting the coaches and everything. It was a blessing being here. And I was honestly looking forward to season.
Yeah. And what about you, Jessica? What brought you all the way here?
So I'm from Brazil, São Paulo, and I was living in Maryland with my husband, and he got drafted to play here in baseball. So I came here all the way to stay with him, and then I was thinking, like, what I'm going to do all those years that he's going to stay here? So am I going to take class as well and start college? So we both now in college, and yeah.
Nice. So what was y'all's very first impression of Bluefield when you got here? Any culture shock, weather shock, anything?
Honestly, when I got shocked, it was my first time here. I think I faced Bluefield State. Mm-hmm. I came from Winning University for baseball. Something that shocked me was Bowman Field, for instance. Professional field, you got the Toronto Blue Jays organization, Bluefield Blue Jays. Honestly, that was my first impression out of it. I never thought I was gonna be here in the school and get to see these guys, the guys in the team. Honestly, it's a blessing being here, being able to compete in the Appalachian Conference. Honestly, and get to know everybody.
Yeah,
I know how competitive is baseball overall, I can tell. And seeing every single guy doing the job. And honestly, a good environment on people, honestly. Never thought I was going to be meeting good people around here, honestly. That's what shocked me up more. And also, like, weather-wise, the winds. The winds is just funny, honestly. Like, how the ball flies out very quick.
Mm-hmm.
So when it goes, like, honestly, like, straight wind, you see, like, the American flag pointing straight towards left field, and it's just a fun environment, honestly, being around here.
Do you think that makes you, like, a better player, knowing how to predict the wind and how you should throw the ball or hit the ball or angles, things like that?
Honestly, it's due to quality, honestly. Mm-hmm. Depending on the quality of the baseball player, honestly.
Yeah.
If you can hit the ball hard or everything, like, it's just, it's an everyday thing.
Yeah. I like it. How about you?
So for me, my first impression was like, wow, what a great view, like the mountain view.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm gonna have the opportunity to see this every day.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna get sick of it. Like, I would enjoy every time. And also, I realized that people here are more nicer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, when you go to the bank to open your account, like, people are nice with you. And also, I like the country accent. It was kind of hard at the beginning for me.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I like it. It's different. And the weather. I remember that my first week here, I had to buy an umbrella.
Oh.
Because it was raining out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah.
Like, in Brazil, we have a lot of seasons. Mm-hmm. But here, I was like,
You'll have all four seasons in one day here.
I know. And I was like, let me order the umbrella on Amazon because I'm going to need it for sure.
Definitely.
It is funny, honestly. Like, beautiful mountains. You get to see, like, a great view out of it, honestly.
Yeah, it's pretty beautiful.
Beautiful.
So, did you both attend school back in your home country?
Yes. I did a technical course in mm-hmm. IT for 2 years. It was kind of like a college, mm-hmm. community college, I can say, in high school.
Yeah. So how would that compare to, like, your classroom experience here? Is it any different? And in what ways?
So I think here, because of the environment being more calm, mm-hmm. and, like, a small town, small college, I feel like, you know, the professors are more, like, they're nice, mm-hmm. for sure, and they are willing to help you. Mm-hmm. Like, they give you full attention to you. So back on my town in Brazil, I feel like they were so busy and rushing with everything going on that they barely would have a time to talk to you, like, just sit down and talk to you about, mm-hmm. like, how you're doing, you need questions, you have questions and all that, so.
Yeah. How about you?
Let's put it like this. I went to high school in Puerto Rico. I went to a baseball academy there called Puerto Rico Baseball Academy. Then I committed D1 out of high school. I went to Central Connecticut State, stayed there for a year. A lot of cold there, very, very opposite of Wheeling and Bluefield. After that, I transferred to Wheeling, played there for 2 years in baseball. I went straight to Lindsey Wilson. I went there in the fall, mm-hmm. For a bit. And honestly, totally the opposite of all the schools here. Like, being in Bluefield, I came here in the spring. And I never thought I was going to be, like well-treated and anything. It was a warm welcome, honestly. Yeah. And seeing the professors, the quality of the professors. Shout out to Sean White, honestly. Great professor. Great professor, yeah. In this school. We get to talk a lot in classroom.
Yeah. Got to listen to the previous episode. I had him in here, interviewing him and Dr. Farmer.
I love her.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
They have some crazy stories, must say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All righty. We already covered that question. How about, do you see any difference with how students interact with each other from here compared to other schools you've been to?
Honestly, yes. There's a lot of difference. Mm-hmm. What I see, like, it's more of a professional environment. Like, you see students, like, if they have to discuss on an assignment or anything. Also, the bonding that brings the school is amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing, and it's something that I look forward also, like, coming to the fall, come back again here.
Yeah. Well, you're on the security team as well, right?
Yes.
Have you, like, through that and not necessarily watching people, I mean, security does watch people, mm-hmm. Have you noticed any difference between how people interact with each other? Do you feel like more people know who everybody is versus other schools you've gone to?
Yes. Because here's a small environment, mm-hmm. I can tell that everyone knows each other.
Yeah.
Like,
sometimes isn't a good thing, but
I know.
It's just weird when people find out things and
yeah.
And like,
I know two people who are dating and I've never met them.
Yeah, it's different. And
yeah.
Just live your own personal life and that's it. Let's put it like that.
All right. So I imagine that the culture change is one of the biggest adjustments. What's something about American/Appalachian culture that surprised you in both a good and the bad way? If you can't come up with a bad way, that's okay.
The good way. The country roads take me home. That beautiful song. Been listening to that since I was in Wheeling, West Virginia right there, honestly. Honestly, nothing bad about it. Country music, I got that feeling since I was a freshman in college. And listening to different kind of artists, like Morgan Wallen. Every time when I shower, first things first, Morgan Wallen, and my top artist. And listening to that, honestly, brings a good vibe, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, is honestly motivational.
Yeah. Any, like, differences in the people that you've met? Whether, like, when you go outside of campus, like, if you're going to a restaurant or to a local store.
The best chicken will be McAdoo's. McAdoo's is...
I will argue with that one.
The best... honestly, trying McAdoo's for dinner.
Yeah.
Just order them wings, whole warm. And
now they're bang bang shrimp. I'm on board with that one.
That is amazing. Wish I could have some right now.
Yeah. How about you?
So for me, it would be a random thing.
Okay.
I feel like here you guys have dinner very early.
Really?
Yes. In Brazil, we have dinner at 9, 10 p.m.
What?
Yes.
Really?
Uh-huh. So for me, it was very, like, different.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had to sit down at 6 p.m. with dinner with my host family because mm-hmm. I was an au pair in the past. And I was like, wow, like, that's different. Like, I'm not even hungry. But
that is so interesting.
Yeah. So
I don't think I have ever heard about that at all. It feels really late to eat dinner.
I know. So whenever I go back to Brazil and mm-hmm. I want to have dinner like at 6 p.m. because now I'm used to this.
Yeah.
My parents be like, grab your snack. Like, are you serious? It's not the time. Get a coffee, eat something, snack. Or
yeah. I wonder why that is. Why do y'all eat dinner so late?
I know.
That's interesting. Is that the same where you're from? Or is that where she's from kind of thing?
Interesting thing.
Very different. Very different. We have a specific time. When to eat and everything. Totally different. Every time that I'm with the boys, baseball wise, it's either going to Taco Bell like around 1 a.m. I don't do that very often when I'm back home. That's something that I've been like
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out. And better versus when I go home, I'm usually with my parents. If they're working, I take the time to go to the gym, do some door dashing.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the field and then go back and relax, honestly,
yeah.
at the crib and just have a good time.
Yeah. No, I loved that weird tidbit. Do y'all have any other things that are like, you know, little things that you noticed were different from back home to here? Like a small thing. I'm not from around here. I'm from southeast of Richmond. Not very far. Not nearly as far as y'all.
Oh my.
But like, even I notice differences when I come up here. Like, I'll be walking through the store and just the way that people talk, what they call certain things, there are different names for different dishes or items in the store, or I'll be talking with somebody and they'll mention something and I'm like, what's that? And then they say what it is and I'm like, oh, you mean this? Anything along the lines of that? Or
so another thing I feel like, here in America, people are more like punctual.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you say like, let's meet at 4,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna be here 4. But in Brazil, besides having dinner late, we are also late when we meet someone. So we say, you say 4, and then we're gonna show up like 4:30, even an hour late.
Oh wow!
And this is not just the person that said the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, both of them get late.
Really?
Yes.
So even if you're like, if you're like throwing a dinner party
mm-hmm.
and you say, all right, be here at 10:30, the person who's throwing the dinner party might not even show up until like 11.
Yeah, sometimes this happens.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, for example, for me, when I'm doing my like a birthday mm-hmm. in my house, for example, I tell my friends like, hey, let's meet at 6. But in my mind, the party's going to start at 7. So I say an hour earlier so I know that everyone's going to be on time.
I mean, that's a good way to get people to be there on time.
Sometimes being on time, it's just weird because you barely see people around. It's same in my country on that, because you show up to a party, it's like people showing up late, like around, put it like this, 6 p.m. They're like around 7:30. They're just ready to eat.
Yeah.
Maybe and enjoy the party. Thing. Yeah, I think it's a Latino thing.
It's a Latino thing. Latino gang.
So how has it been, like, making friends or finding your place here at Bluefield? Have y'all found that it's been, you know, easy? Has joining any clubs helped or groups or anything?
So for me, in the beginning, I was very nervous. Mm-hmm. I felt like, oh, imagine if you did not understand my English. Because, if I be honest with you, the English that I learned in class in Brazil is nothing compared to here.
Oh, I'm sure. Like, it's an entirely different language. And I know that you're friends with Savannah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know Savannah's friend Mariah, but she's from California. And even she thinks that we speak in, not we, because I'm not technically from here, but even she thinks that everybody around here speaks an entirely different form of English. It's like there's words you've never heard of. Mm-hmm. There's phrases you've never heard of.
Yeah, like for me, for example, like I didn't learn these slangs. Uh-huh. Like I had to learn here in the hard way for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like sometimes they go say, oh, it's late. I was like, what is late? And then when I put in Google Translate, I was like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, slay who?
Yeah, like yeah. What's going on? Like, so I had to learn that in a hard way. But then I was like, how am I going to be able to connect with friends if I mm-hmm. barely can speak very well the language? So I started improving my language, trying to like do some more online classes and speaking, like using speaking apps like Duolingo and stuff like that. Because I was like, wow, the English that I learned in Brazil on class is nothing compared to.
Yeah.
I think that is for every country that you go.
Oh, for sure.
So.
For sure. The best way to learn a language. My friend had a minor in a language, actually. And she said that the best way to learn a language, like you will never be fully fluent in a language unless you go somewhere where they speak that language constantly around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And I believe that also here, what I can say from my point of view is that I feel that people are more patient to like repeat one more time.
Yeah.
You know, when
to sit there and try and understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Especially like with the country or country accent?
Country.
Okay. With the country accent, I feel like sometimes it's hard for me to hear it, especially on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd be like, can you repeat please one more time? Mm-hmm. And then I catch that. But and same go for both ways. Like, so I feel like people here are more patient sometimes, and that's a good thing. So
nice. So how about you? How's it been making friends or finding a community that you feel like you belong to around here?
Making friends? My teammates.
Yeah.
They received me. Remember Andres Vega and Nick Sturgio? They were going into the room one time, and I was like, wait, are these the RAs? Like, that was my first instance. I was like, shocked. Went inside the room. Mm-hmm. Vega received me with a warm welcome, same as Sturgio. Then after that, like, getting to know the guys more, and it felt like a vibe.
Yeah.
Now, still, I don't know almost anybody in the school. Like,
yeah.
Still, basically brand new, out of package.
Yeah.
So, it's still, like, I'm still, like, figuring out who are the people and everything. I know that the seniors, sadly, they're going to be gone because a couple of them honestly opened their hands for me when mm-hmm. and gave me a warm welcome and helped me out on those little things. How Coach Mike does his practice, and same as Coach Gary Schilling, because they have, like, a different system, mm-hmm. like, in place and everything. So part of it, and also a shout out to Sean Seal too, because he's been helping me a lot with a couple of the plays and how the program is, and honestly, beautiful here, and just very grateful with everything.
Yeah,
just very grateful.
Can I say something? Of course. So I forgot to mention that joining the cheer team was also something that helped me to be more connected with. And then there I met Savannah, I met Maya, and they're a blessing for me. Like, they really made me feel home, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because when you're in a country, you have a lot of friends mm-hmm. and everything, and then you have to start over again. And it's kind of tough, but having these people around, I feel like it's a blessing from God. yeah, like sending these people to make you feel more comfortable. So,
and also like when people you're gonna meet along the way, because this is what this is my fourth years, like fourth school,
mm-hmm,
that I've been around, and it's a blessing, yeah, to get to know people during the years that I've been, and finding a true home is honestly blue feeling. When I walk in the stage, when I get to graduate, you know what? Bluefield will always be my home.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right, so let's shift gears. What is the biggest everyday difference between life here and life back home? Food, schedules, maybe even how people interact. I know we already talked about the schedule thing with, like, dinner and all that. So kind of reiterating that question. But I guess mainly focusing on, like, the food or how different people interact, things like that.
I can say for me, the food,
yeah,
is very different. Like, in Brazil, our lunch time is not, like, just a snack sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have a meal, like, every day. It's rice and beans in the lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
It's, like, something that is... Often we change for pasta or something like that, but usually it's a main thing in Brazil.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes, like, in the beginning, I saw people having, like, peanut butter and jelly in the lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was like, wow. Like, it was different.
Yeah.
But I realized that later on, it's just a cultural thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's normal in every country that you go. Like, sometimes they have a different. So that was something for me that kind of was, like, different from here, from mm-hmm. back home. And now, with my rush life, that I'm busy.
Yeah.
Sometimes I really just get a snack and I, like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have time to make a food meal or cook something. Yeah. So,
anyway. Yeah, for sure. How about you?
Totally different. It's almost same as hers. Brazil, Puerto Rico, they have a lot in common with the rice and beans. You add any type of meat. But we have also like a specific Puerto Rican food called mofongo, and you can add any type of meat. It's smashed plantains. You fry them plantains first,
mm-hmm.
and then until golden brown, and you start smashing it.
Mm-hmm.
You put garlic on it. You put lime juice.
Yes.
Also pork rinds on it.
Yeah.
It was delicious. It was the first day that I prepared that, like first time ever.
Yeah.
Preparing a meal like that of my culture, and it ended up a success.
Yeah.
Ended up a success. And also, like, from the Dominican Republic, we have mango, salami, fried cheese, and we got also boiled eggs if you want to put them in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost the same as the mofongo, but you can eat that at any time of the day. Like,
yeah,
you can eat it at breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Yeah.
Put some onions on top. Oh my goodness! I need my mom to prepare me that cuisine already. It's a blessing.
I've always wondered, what do plantains taste like? I constantly see recipes for it. I'm just too scared to try it. I feel like I'm gonna mess it up.
So plantains, it's gonna depend on the color. When they're green,
uh-huh,
when they're green, they taste like more like they're
like sour.
Yeah, they're like soury.
Okay,
but when they turn yellow, they're sweeter. So okay, you can make it as plain fried. Like, you can fry them and you can eat it like that.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be sweeter. It's going to taste sweet.
Okay. I've always heard of it being more of a savory thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really know. Maybe one day I'll try it. Brave enough to try
it. It's very good. It's very good. It tastes like it's like fried bananas. Put okay. it like that. Like, you put it like a banana.
Yeah,
it's
see, like that's the reaction somewhat. I've heard when people
it's
say
like
that.
Kinda.
Yeah, it's yeah. kinda. Because as he said, if you like eat when it's like green, it's gonna mm-hmm. be a little sour. So it depends on how you wanna eat.
Yeah, see, because then you talk about the recipe where you put like garlic and lime juice on it, and in my mind I'm thinking bananas and garlic. Wow. I can't picture like the taste in my head.
Yeah, but when you eat it, you feel like it's different.
Okay.
But it's good.
Okay.
Like, you should try it.
I'll have to try it. Mm-hmm. All right. What is the one meal that you miss that you can't find anywhere around here?
Simple. Mango, salami, fried cheese, and
Are you saying salami?
Yeah.
Like, not the cured meat, I'm assuming. Or is it?
Salami, I think we have here.
Yeah, we have it here. But also, like, the cold, like, there are no Puerto Rican cuisines or Dominican cuisines, like, almost nearby here. That's what makes it tougher because you go to, for example, Norfolk. Norfolk. I've been to Norfolk in the summer.
Yeah.
And Norfolk has a lot of variety of Latin cuisine. Like, oh, yeah. Obviously, you're going to find a Mexican cuisine, like, in every corner in the United States. But you, specifically, you want a couple of parts in there. For example, Norfolk, I think Chicago, New York City. They have also those cuisines, like, a lot of Puerto Rican cuisines, Dominican cuisines. Pennsylvania provides also that, and to go somewhere to get a like couple of those countries, like those cuisines from those countries, it's tough to find it. Like when you're like, for example, Bluefield, Virginia, because
there's like nothing around here.
Like you're gonna see more American restaurants and also a couple of Mexican restaurants. And believe me, sometimes when I go to a Mexican restaurant,
how do you rate Mexican restaurants?
I put it like 9 out of 10, honestly.
Really?
It's very good, and it's always fresh. So if I want to eat my rice and beans, and if I want to add steak on it, it pounds, honestly. It's like being home again.
So for me, it's feijoada.
What is that?
Feijoada, it's a dish with like beans, like have pork and stuff. Like, it's a lot of combination of things. And they did once in the cafeteria.
Oh, really?
So it was so good.
So Kevin, he actually did. I was so surprised and I was so happy. He told me he's gonna do it, but I was like, is there like...
Like, I don't believe you.
Yeah, like, I need to really see and eat.
Yeah.
So he did, and it was actually good. Like, of course, like, the food that we eat home... It's hard because the product is different. They have to import. It's such a, you know, it's different. And, but feijoada is the thing for me. I really love. And one day, am I going to be able to cook here?
Oh.
If I have to get like a pressure cooker to do the beans.
Yeah.
Because we actually, we don't get the beans for the can. We actually like.
Do you like, you take the like dried beans and.
Yeah, it's fresh and.
I've always been tempted to do that, but I've never had the time or effort to put into it.
That's the thing. Like, we're so busy. Sometimes we don't have the time, but whenever I have the time, I'm planning to do that and try to cook.
Nice. Yeah, no, that sounds awesome. What is your favorite food that you have tried since being here? Now, this doesn't necessarily have to be in Bluefield in general, just since leaving your home country. What's like your favorite food that you've tried?
For me, cheesecake.
Really?
I love cheesecake.
Cheesecake is really good.
Cheesecake Factory. I miss that here. If they have here.
Cheesecake Factory.
You gotta drive a ways for a Cheesecake Factory. Yeah. There's one that's like 30 minutes away from my house back home. It's really nice.
I like it.
Favorite food. I like to eat a lot. That's what I can say. But honestly, favorite food in general will be cheeseburgers, honestly.
Really?
I just love cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
I just cannot stop eating them.
Have you been to the Rail Yard?
The Rail Yard? No, but I remember...
You like a burger.
Skip told me about that place, and I wanted to try it.
I work there currently. I'm the hostess, but hopefully I'll be a waitress next year. But if you're in the mood for like a good burger... That is the place to go.
Yeah.
There's this one burger that's like, it's my favorite burger. It's called the Gringo. And it's on, I know. I know. But it's on two tostadas, and it's a burger, and it's got guacamole on it, cotija cheese, some kind of crema. I don't know. It's really good. It's really good.
I'm gonna try.
It's so good. It's like my favorite thing there. I always get that. But if you are in the mood for a burger, You got to try that place out. And we have a milkshake that has a cheesecake on top of it.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyways. I there. Anyways. All right. So, reeling back onto the script. Do you ever get homesick? And how do you stay connected to your roots while being so far from home?
So, for me, to be honest, almost every day I have homesick.
Aww.
Yeah, it's tough. And I believe that since COVID, it got worse.
Oh, yeah?
To be honest. Because when COVID happened, I was here. I came here, like, a day after. Like, I came here, and the day after, actually, the borders closed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was a whole situation. So I could not go back to my country.
Mm-hmm.
People could not come here. It was a they were still figuring out what to do in the airports and all that. Yeah. So I couldn't go. So I was like, oh my gosh. And if I go back to Brazil, I had to stay in Mexico for 14 days or 15.
Yeah, for quarantine.
Yeah, and the way to go and the way back.
Oh my goodness.
So, and then the COVID started to be very bad in Brazil, like people dying. Oh, wow. My neighbors, most of them died. It was pretty tough.
Oh my gosh.
So it was pretty tough. And then all that made me realize how my family is important and how much, like, they're important that anything in life for me. And I start to appreciate my parents more, my family. So after that, all the situation, I went back to Brazil to see my family, and I still have homesick sometimes. But what I do, I try to call them every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because when I don't call them for like a week, I start having homesick, and I'd be like, oh my gosh. Like, and then my mom called me, hey, you forgot how you have mom here? Call me. I was like, mom, I'm so sorry. But yeah, and for people that have homesick here, I would recommend them to every time talk to your family on FaceTime.
Yeah,
you know, that helps a lot. When you eat also the food that is from our country, that helps too.
Yeah.
Like when I eat Brazilian food, like sometimes when I'm super like having homesick a lot, I go online and I order like a lot of stuff online from Brazil.
Yeah.
Like a lot of like products, and I'm like, oh, I feel relieved now.
Yeah.
So that type of thing.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, it started freshman year when I was in Central. Got redshirted the first year.
Mm-hmm.
I started getting homesick because I couldn't play the whole year. It was a struggle, a mental struggle. I once told my dad, like, I want to go home. I don't want to be here no more. It was hard. It was hard. Those moments, like, when you're never expected. My dad told me these words. And shout out to my dad. If he ever listens to this podcast, I very appreciate it. The sacrifices. Also, my mom. My mom always being a supportive parent. My uncles and my grandma. Honestly, being there for me. It was. They were in the tough moments. They were my happy moments. Honestly, there was a point that I just didn't want to continue in baseball. And my dad told me this, like, you either lock it in, put your big boy pants on, or you just go home, just work, and keep going to school. After that moment, then I decided, you know what, let me buckle in, let me fight with this slump. Still fighting for it, still at the end of the day, still fighting for everything that's been around.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping a good time out of it, just trying not to be homesick. I'm already got independent on what I want to accomplish in life.
Mm-hmm.
I started just reading books, read the Bible every single day, even in the bus rides. Every time the guys see me, they see me reading the Bible every verse, or if I have to interpret that verse, just say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
The smaller things.
Yeah.
Just the small things to move forward from it. I carry this verse of Joshua 1:9.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look what I sent you. Don't be scared, because I'll be with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And that's something that that I've been carrying it since wheeling, honestly, when I carry that. And when I came here, for instance, you know what? Let me read the Bible every day.
Yeah.
What God taught teaches me. What is the lesson? How I can handle depression? How I can handle anxiety in tougher situations?
Yeah.
And one part that I look every single time is, yo, en español le dicen Joel 3:10. Say the weak, I am strong.
Nice. Would you say that reading the Bible would help you with your homesickness?
Yeah, it did. It did. And also praying to God that everything's going to be fine. In campus, I'm smiling every time. Yeah. No matter what, and I have to say hi, I say hi. I spend time with, the majority of the time I'm with my teammates because they're like a second family for me.
Yeah.
And also, shout out to Coach Mike White, the big skipper. And Gary Schilling for always taking care of us. Well, shout out to Coach Bones, Sean Johnson, and my boy Jackson Pugh, Bacon, always been a supportive part of this beautiful family here.
Yeah,
that's what got me into not think of home, like just be where your feet are, and just go forward.
Yeah.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So how would you say that this whole experience of being here at Bluefield has shaped you as a person? I know that you just got here, but so far I'd say, how do you think this has helped to shape you as a person?
So for me, I think that this whole experience made me closer to God, which is an incredible thing for me. Mm-hmm. And also, I became a more mature person, even more than I was. Back in Brazil, I learned how to be more mature, how to be more on my own. Like, we gotta learn, you know, because your mom, you know, when you're sick, unfortunately, your mom is not there to make a soup for you. Mm-hmm. You gotta get up, go to Walmart, buy something, you know. So things like that. And here, if I could say something, would be that this college, this university, I can say, made me more close to God.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the events that happened, chapel and everything, it helped me a lot. So that's what I can say.
As a person, I've grown a lot during the years. The obstacles, they're gonna be obstacles in life, like any other human being. But something that can carry you in there, just have a good time, enjoy life.
Yeah.
Life's too short to get bogged down. Be discouraged. You just want to keep moving, keep going, no matter what. You just want to be smiling and just keep on rolling.
Yeah. So I've got two more questions for y'all. The first one would be, what is one thing that you've learned about your own culture since living here? And if you can't answer that, then I can move on to the second one.
Yeah, that one I was trying to find something.
Yeah, that's a hard one to answer. But our next and final question, if a new international student were to come to Bluefield tomorrow, what advice would you give them?
I would say for them to be open-minded, be patient and kind to yourself. And I would say, you're very brave to leave our country to stay here. I know how it feels. And I would say that don't stress about making English mistakes. It's normal. English is not our native language, so you're going to make mistakes. It's fine. I would also say that adapting to a new culture can be tough, but it's also an amazing chance for you to grow and develop yourself. And I would also say that it's normal to feel homesick sometimes, but you're not alone. And that Bluefield University got a lot of to offer, and I'm sure that you're going to make a lot of connections and memories in this place. So,
it's very
sweet. Phil was me. You're going to see a lot of things, beautiful things. College is a beautiful experience because we get to know people all around. But what I can say to an international student, don't be afraid of failure. Don't be afraid if if English is not your first language, you're gonna have people around you that they're gonna give you that support. They're gonna help you to have success in the near future on whatever you wanna do. And just all the time, pray to God that everything's gonna be all right. Don't think about anything else. Focus on what you gotta do so you can provide one day for your family.
Yeah.
And Bluefield University has the tool of giving you these opportunities that pass by, honestly, that take those opportunities and also learn from them. Learn from experiences. Something that one of my teammates taught me, simple. Your winning experience.
Mm-hmm.
You want to win every experience during the way.
I would add that also don't be scared about reaching out to people when you need help.
Yeah.
Because here's a small community, right?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of know everyone basically, but like you're going to find someone that could help you out.
Yeah.
Like even if it's a professor in class, they're all, professor, I'm having some problem with this. I can understand, mm-hmm. especially because of the English barrier, you know, the language barrier, I can say. And there's going to be people that are going to help you out. Also, there's like Emily Cook, I think her name.
Yes. Yeah.
So I heard that she's awesome. I never met her like very well, but you know, this supports here, you know, when you have homesick, you can talk to people. You can also find that here. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, thank you both for coming in today.
Appreciate your time and appreciate you for having us here, honestly.
Thank you both for agreeing to do this so last minute. A huge thank you to Juan and Jessica for sharing their stories and giving us a glimpse into what it's like to study abroad at Bluefield. Their courage, curiosity, and open-mindedness are a reminder of just how diverse and inspiring our campus community really is. If you liked this episode, be sure to follow The Rambler and share it with a friend. Until next time, I'm Karis Milby, and this is your reminder to keep on rambling.